She's been ministering here in our church for the last several weeks. She won't be here next Sunday. She's going to be in Chicago trying out for The Voice. Yeah. Amen. So, she is just a blessing. She's such a blessing. Amen. God knew what we needed. I'd been praying, Lord, send us somebody that can sing. I mean, that's how I was praying, and then I think he did, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. So hopefully she'll be back after The Voice. Amen. So thank you for being here today, and happy Father's Day to everyone. And I'm not preaching a Father's Day sermon today. I'm going to continue on with what we began last week. A very, very powerful word. God has given me such a revelation on this, and I thank him for that, because he began to teach me why Jesus came. Jesus came to bring new. He came to bring brand new. And we talked about that last week. So when Jesus came, there was a lot of controversy. It wasn't that way at the beginning, because in the beginning they thought that he was one of them. You know, last week we talked about that, and I don't want to take a whole lot of time and reemphasize that. But the Sermon on the Mount is a message in the Bible that a lot of people have alluded to and preached about, but I wonder, did they really understand what the Sermon on the Mount was all about? Scholars tell us that Sermon on the Mount was basically a theme of Jesus through his whole ministry. That he shared it more than once. You know, at the end of John tells us that if every word was written down that Jesus said, there wouldn't be enough books to contain it. So what we have here in the revelation of the Bible, 66 books of old and new, was God's reference. I believe we got every word he wanted us to have. Yet, you need to understand that there were so many more. And so Jesus came to bring brand new. Because God knew that we needed new. Everyone said, well, he's a real good prophet. He's a real good teacher. Because they didn't understand who he was. So go with me to the book of Luke, if you will. Chapter 4. And we're going to talk about that just a little bit. Kind of bring your reference for last week. Luke chapter 4, verses 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Now, as you study this, as I said last week, the New International Version is really a lot clearer. But I usually go by King James. That's just me. But when you're studying, there's so many more revelations, so many more versions that you can study and learn from, and NIV is one of the best. So NIV explains it a little bit better. But it says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit in Galilee, and there went out a fame about him through all round about. You remember last week we talked about that the Pharisees and the so-called Jews were saying that, we finally got somebody here that's going to reemphasize what we've been talking about. He's going to tell everybody that we're right. Because they segregated people. They separated people. Religion was the dominant factor in that day. Jesus is not about religion. Jesus is about relationship. Now, Jesus brought that to the eyes of people, and it caused great controversy, because Jesus loves every one of us on an individual level, and every one of us need him, whether we recognize it or not. Amen? The enemy loves religion because religion segregates and separates and says, you're not good enough to be here. You'll never be good enough to be here. You see, that was always the case. The Gentiles were like dogs. They didn't have anything. They weren't good as we are. And so this was pretty much what was going on. And so there was a fame about him. They liked him until they got to really know him. And the Sermon on the Mount is when controversy began to change. So they're saying here, he's extended it. And look at verse 15. He taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. We talked about that last week. They all liked him now because they thought he was an extension of what they were. But he wasn't. Jesus came to bring about brand new. Now, one of the problems they had is that they thought that he was blaspheming against Moses. They thought because they really worshiped Moses. They worshiped the law. Isn't it amazing? Just a little side note right here. Because I really want you to get this. So I'm just allowing the Holy Spirit to guide me and direct me, because it's important that you understand that serving God is not about religion. Because religion will keep you away from God, but relationship will draw you to God. Amen? How many of you know we couldn't get to him? Religion says if you're this good, then you can have God. But how many of you know that we're never going to be that good? So we just kind of give up and say, well, bump it, I don't need it. You know, I got problems, I got issues, I know that, and I'm willing to admit that, and the way you're talking, I'll never be good enough to come to God, so just forget it. And that's exactly what the enemy wanted. And Moses was a dispensation. There was a time, dispensation. There were seven dispensations in the Bible. We'll talk about that one day. But timing with God is more important than time. There was a time that Moses was important. He was here. He taught the people the law. But isn't it amazing that when Moses died, what happened to him? Class, what happened to him? He was buried on the mountain. He was buried? Who buried him?
God.
God buried him. Isn't that amazing? And isn't it amazing that nobody knew where he was buried? And God gave me a revelation on that. He said if there had been a place where he was buried and a monument, people would have worshipped that monument. So what God was saying, that time period, that era is now gone. Jesus didn't come to extend Moses. Jesus came to bring brand new. Moses was about law and prophet, and that was their Bible back then, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But Jesus came not to attack Moses, but to show people that he was the way, he was the truth, and he was the life. So many people have a relationship with the church, and so many people have a relationship with rituals and forms. They feel like if they do that, then they're religious. And certainly if you're religious, you got to be good. And well, I'm as good as they are. Amen? But Jesus says none of us is good. He don't love us based on us being good. Because we have a hard time being good. Some of y'all are having a hard time right now being good. Amen. I mean, we have a hard time. Hey, somebody was true. Amen. And so, Jesus came and they thought, man, he's with us. He's one of us. Man, we're going to tell all these people that they are not where they need to be. And everything was cool for a while. But then Jesus started teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. So let's look at that just a minute. Go with me to Luke chapter 6. I wanted you to see Luke chapter 4 because that's where we left off last week. And so Luke chapter 6, he starts talking about some stuff here. Go down to verse 20. And so Jesus is teaching now, and he begins to say stuff like, And you got to understand that the content of the Sermon on the Mount was so contrary. The Sermon on the Mount is a contrary sermon to what they believed. I mean, their religion made them better than everybody else, and their religion separated them from people that had real needs and real problems. And if you weren't a Jew and you were Gentile and all that stuff, you weren't anything. And if you weren't rich, and if you didn't, you know, to be rich is to be godly, and all of this, and if you had needs and you were poor and you were just average person and you just struggled with life, then you weren't accepted. And so Jesus starts teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. And what's the first thing he says in verse 20? And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed are the poor." Look what he says now. "For yours is the kingdom of God." What? I mean, they're sitting there and they're hearing this. What? Poor? Blessed are the poor. We felt like that the poor were left out. The poor had no right to the kingdom. The poor had no, it had no right to get to the kingdom. And Jesus stands in their midst and said, "Blessed are the poor." Now what's Jesus trying to say? Blessed are the ones who have needs. Because when you have a need, the kingdom of God is yours. And that blew them away. You got to understand that religion loves to dominate. Religion loves to control. If you don't look like me and you're not like me and not a part of my clique, then I'm going to tell you, you are not going to be blessed. Amen? If you don't dress like me and act like me, because church is about me. Y'all coming back next week? I'm just preaching the word. Amen. Do you fault me for just preaching the word? This is the same attitude Jesus had. Jesus started saying, "Hey, these people are blessed." Have you lost your mind? Have you been in the sun too long? They are not blessed. They are not good enough to be with us. They are not good enough to be a part of the church. They got issues. They hang around at the bars and they have problems. And you know, but you know what I found out about people like that? They're real and they're just who they are. They don't try to hide. Amen? Sometimes if you have a real need, go to the bar. I guarantee somebody will help you. Amen? Is that too strong? Do I need to kind of back up a little bit? Amen. Because all of us has got issues and all of us has got secrets that we don't want to tell nobody about. Amen? I ain't done that in a long time. And he started talking about, blessed are the meek. No. This man, hey, he's not with us. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. No, it's about power. Why do you think Jesus that day ran them out of the temple? You know what they were doing in the temple? They were controlling and manipulating people and taking people's money from them and not using the kingdom of God the right way, or not using the temple the right way. And so Jesus cleans it out. He said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." No. Pure in heart. Pure in heart is ceremonies. It's ceremonial. We stay away from the Gentiles. Our pureness is we don't touch dead things, and we stay away from the Gentiles. And you know, As I said last week, we don't dip and chew and we don't hang with them that do. Amen. I mean, come on now. This, you talking about blessed are the pure in heart. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart. Now, let's look what Matthew said about this. Go with me to the book of Matthew. I'm just reading the Bible this morning, y'all. Matthew chapter 5. I want people to know that Jesus loves them no matter what they are and no matter what they're going through. Amen? Yeah. I don't deserve to be up here, and I've been up here. I've been preaching for over 44 years, and there's not a Sunday that I step up here that I don't have butterflies and realize that I'm not worthy to be up here. But for some reason, God's, you know, He used donkeys in the Bible. I guess He can use me. Amen? He used jawbones, I guess He can use me. I mean, so I'm just telling you that this religion thing, because you know we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. People don't want to go to church no more because they hear stuff. I wish they could come to Northview, because I want to tell y'all something about Northview, and I'm not just saying this. Me and Teresa needed somewhere that was real, and God brought us here because we needed. We'd seen a lot of mess over the years, and God brought us to a place of real people. You know, we ain't got thousands here, but we got quality here. Amen. And I appreciate y'all because every one of y'all are real. You are what you are. Nobody's here perfect. Nobody is. We're all, people don't like what I'm getting ready to say, but we're sinners saved by grace. Amen. Amen. That's what we are. And Jesus came to break up all this monotony, break up all this religion, let them know God is a God who loves you where you are. We all struggle. You're not going to tell nobody about your struggles, but you are struggling. And we feel like we've got to hide from God. But you don't have to hide from Him. Just embrace Him, because He'll love you through whatever you're going through. Amen. So Matthew records it like this. Go to Matthew chapter 5. Can you give me a few more minutes? Amen. Man. Amen. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 13. Now here, I want to tell you, if you just read all these blessings. Go to sometime in your Bible study this week, just read chapter 5 of Matthew. Just read that chapter. And he starts out by saying, bless it, bless it, bless it, bless it, bless it. And he drops on down to verse 13. He says, you're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. What are you talking about? We were taught to stay away from the world. We were taught not to be in the world. We were taught to be separate from the world. But Jesus came and born in a stable in the middle of the world. Does that make sense? Jesus came to the world. Not to be an extension of Moses, but to be brand new. And we're going to get into some stuff in here that's going to blow your mind, because when you read it, really read it, it just makes it so clear. And we're not going to have time to get to that today. But it said that we're the salt of the earth. We're better than the world. We don't do things like they do. Let me tell you what, Jesus broke all that down, because He broke all that down. And he let everybody know. Look on down to verse 16. Can you give me a few more minutes?
Preach on, brother.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. In other words, let your light shine before others. Others, whoa, others, There ain't no others, Jesus. We don't even like others. We don't like others. We like weeds. We like weeds. We don't like others. And you're telling us that we're the light of the world and that we're letting our light shine before others? Look at 16 again. Let your light so shine before who? Before who? Before who? Men. Wake that one up inside and say, you need to hear this. Men. Let your light shine before whosoever will. Let your light shine in front of everybody. Let your light so shine. We're going to read the rest of it next week. But I'm telling you what, this revolutionized my mind because Jesus came to create new and fresh. Serving God is not a drudge. It's not to be anything that you're beat over the head about. Serving God is not about doing all the rules and all these things. Because when He comes in your heart, He brings change. And you start doing things because you love Him and you don't want to do it no more. Does that make sense? You don't hang out at places that you used to hang out, not because it's a rule. You do it because you just love something better than you did that. Jesus was about meeting the needs of people, and that's why they hung Him on a cross. And they thought they could shut Him up. They thought they could kill Him. But He told them, it's all a plan of God. You're not going to kill me. And I'm not going to go away. Amen. The only reason I'm going to die is for you. So that we can break this chain. But when I break that chain, I'm coming back on the third day. As we heard that song today playing. He's alive. Amen. He's alive, and He wants to be alive in your heart. He wants you, with all your issues, He wants you. And people need to know, you talk about church to people today, it turns them off. You want to know why? Because there's people in there that's not living as good as them people out there. Amen? And so they say, you know, it's not real. And that's what I love about Northview. There's some real people in here. You want to know why? Because there's some people who've been through some stuff in here. Northview, y'all been through some stuff, haven't you? And God was with you every step of the way. And all people need to hear now is not how bad they are, about how much God loves them. And He'll take that bad and He'll turn around and make it good. That's what Jesus is about. Jesus is about brand new. I've heard people say, well, you know, I'd go to church, but I don't have good clothes. Isn't that a shame? I'd go to church, but I don't know how to read the Bible. You know, and I know a lot of people got excuses too. But I want to tell you what, if you really want to know who He is, the Sermon on the Mount changed the minds of the people. And from that minute forward, they were out to get Him. But they never got Him. He's still alive today. And He's saying, I want you to serve me because you love me. I want you to serve me because you love me. I want you to read the Bible, not because it's a rule, but I want you to read it because you love me. I want you to work on your problems. I mean, look who wrote the Bible. All these guys had problems. Really? Moses had a drinking problem. And he'd get drunk and get naked. I mean, really. And his sons, you remember that story in the Bible? They had to cover him up because he was just going crazy. I'm going to tell you, everybody in the Bible who wrote the Bible had problems. Peter had a cussing problem. He'd cuss you out and pray for you. Amen. All at the same time. Amen. And you know why God did that? To show us. It's not about us. It's not about perfection. It's about Him. And Jesus wants you to know today that serving Him don't have to be a drudge. You can love Him, and He'll love you where you are. We got a society now that's 24/7. There's something going on all the time. But I'm going to tell you something. God will be with you 24/7. And He'll love you through what you're going through. God loves you today. And He wants you to love Him just because He loves you. Won't you stand to your feet? We'll finish this up next week, Lord willing. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word today. We thank You, Lord, for the revelation of Your word. I thank You, God, that You are such an awesome, awesome God. Thank You, God, for understanding that we don't all have it together all the time. Thank You, God, that we have come short of the glory of God. Thank You, Lord, for loving us, even though we are so full of problems. You still love us. God, we are the salt of the earth because we are the salt and the light of the earth because salt gives flavor. And God, we are the flavor of the earth because the earth is full of people who got problems. But God, You never turn us away. And You work with us and You love us. And God, may we learn to love ourselves, and may we learn to love others, so that we can be better for You. God, take this word. Take this Sermon on the Mount. Lord, take this word and may Your congregation of people never forget this sermon. And may they realize that You're a real God and You really do love them because You care about them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tell somebody you love them before you leave today.